Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Mount Carroll Church of God. We thank you for joining with us today to celebrate Jesus together. It is a great day that the Lord's made for just us to worship Him and to celebrate who He is in our lives, but also it's a day for us to remember all that He's called us to do and who He's called us to be. He's called us to be His children and to live out our lives to the fullest for Him, and that is the most incredible gift that He's given to us. Now, there's a lot of people we need to be praying for, that we've got a lot of things going on in our church and our community. We can pray for Ann's sister Rhonda. We can pray for all the different people that are sick and need some help. But we're going to do that now, and we're going to start worship together. So, Father God, we thank you so much for this day that you've given to us, and we are glad to join together as a family of believers in worship. We ask that this day would be a day in which we celebrate you and what you've done. Even while we recognize those who have done some remarkable things, may we be encouraged to go on and do the best things and the greatest things we can with our lives for you. I just ask that you be with those who are sick and recovering. We ask that you be with Doris Bork, heal her up and make her well. Be with Harlan Bruner right now, and I just pray that you'd give him strength in the days ahead. I pray that you'd be with Ann's sister, and I pray that you would heal her up and make her well and whole again. And Lord, we just ask that you would allow us to remember that you were the one who lived and died and rose to take care of our past, to take care of our present, and to guarantee our future. And Lord, we thank you for that. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. All right, good morning. One of the great things is that when I first got here, there was a guy used to come here, and his name is Jim Trent. Jim would come in, and every time we'd gather together on a Sunday morning or get together for a meeting, he would say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And you know, it is great to have those feelings back again. That gathering together to worship the Lord is an incredible joy and privilege, and He's made this day just for us to do so. So this morning, we're going to start out by singing the song, "Today is the Day." And we invite you to sing along with us. The words are on the screen over there. And we hope you enjoy worshiping with us this morning. Thank you. To thank him for all that he's done in spite of who we are, to help us become who he wants us to be. And that is one of the great things, that his love has been for us since the foundations of the earth, and it stays with us no matter where we've gone, no matter what we've done. He has loved us completely and fully and will always love us.
To the Lord, our God and King, His love endures forever. Oh, He is good, He is above all things, His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched star, His love endures forever.
greatest things and greatest privileges that we have is that because he is with us and he loves us, we can approach him. Scripture tells us, let us not fear approaching the throne of grace. How awesome that is that we can come before him and we can lay down at his feet and say, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he says, climb up here, kid. Sit on my lap. This is where you belong.
Stand my life before.
reason that we can cry out to Him, the Holy God, is because of what He's done. And this next song, that's a fantastic song, but it pushes us to think about all that Jesus has done and what He has made possible. And the beautiful thing that He's done is He sacrificed Himself so that we could have eternal life. Let's sing about that together.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, you became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. And now you
You know, it's kind of unique this season of our lives, because right now we should be in the throes of graduations and weddings and new beginnings and closing chapters and new chapters opening up. But it seems like we're being restrained and kept back from those things. But it's amazing still that we can look at things and we can look at it from the perspective that this is graduation day for all of us, where we celebrate those who have graduated from high school, and the list is long, and we look and we celebrate and we're excited for them because we know how hard they've worked. And the same for those who have graduated from college and those who have graduated and made it through paramedic school and all the rest. It's exciting to see how people work to achieve goals. And it's interesting to watch when they finally succeed, what they do next. You know, this is my 4.5 time around as a proud parent of a graduate. And I know that seems strange, but I've got four kids, and I've had three of them now graduate from high school. And I've had one graduate from college, and we'll consider Jared kind of a half graduate from college because he just got his associate's degree. So he's kind of halfway there from a real degree, and we're hoping for him that it's going to take place. And if everything goes well and she turns in all of her homework on time, next year we'll celebrate Rachel and her graduating from high school and heading off to college. And I'll be 2.5 graduations away from college and done. And it'll be a glorious time. Because I remember the long days and the countless hours that we spent pushing and supporting and helping our kids achieve these goals. Going to the concerts and the track meets and the cross-country meets and the football games. Yes, Jared did play 1 year of football. I was there. And to go through all these different things and the relentless hours of basketball that we spent. I think back of the countless hours we spent pushing them to get their homework done. And in total, we put in the last 23 years of having children, we put in 45 years of work to get them all done and through. I know, I had hair, I had less gray, and getting the kids to this point has been a milestone for Deanne and I. But it's not all about us, it's about them and the hard work that they've put in to achieve this for themselves. And over the years, we pushed them hard. We wanted their personal best every single day that they were in school. It didn't matter what class that they were in, we pushed them and we said, we expect you to be the best you can be. Maybe not the best in the class, but we expect you to be the best you can be. Not perfection, but your 100% honest best effort every day. And it wasn't about Deanne and I, it was about helping them become who they're going to be when they grow up, if they grow up, God willing. It was about helping them establish a work ethic where they were able to get up and get the job done and do it well every time. And it's not been easy for any of us who are parents getting our kids to do their best. Whether they were straight A's or straight D's, it didn't matter. As long as we could get them to say at the end of the day they did their best, that was what we were looking for. And that's what we celebrate, is that they gave all that they had to get to this point. Many of us spent many nights in passionate discussion about the relevance and the need for homework being done. And the question still is out there whether Hannah likes it or not, whether algebra will pay off in real life or not. But the great thing is learning how to do it so when you take the test, you can. Learning how to do it so you know when you face the opportunity, you can excel. But here we are, students and parents alike, at the end of another chapter where we can exhale and take some time to enjoy a moment together. And all parents and students have gone through these battles throughout the years. It doesn't matter what house you grew up in, these battles took place. Some were successfully won, others were struggled through. Still others feel as if they have failed miserably. And truth be told, this self-discovery and this push towards learning what our personal best looks like never, ever ends. You may be graduating from high school, but guess what? Welcome to real life, because you're going to find out what your next new boundary is that God wants you to cross. From the very struggle to take our first breath to the very last one we will ever take, we are on a constant quest to do more, to be more, and in the end find success and rest from the struggle that we have faced, whatever it is. And when we have finished our race, we just want to be able to look back and say that we gave it our all. to hear congratulations, you did it. To hear the words, I appreciate all that you've done and the hard work you've put in. You did a good job. Well done. No, there's a man in the Bible who lived long enough to see that happen in his life. And you know, he did this in two different worlds, and it was kind of unique because this guy named Paul, he started out in an atmosphere, in a world where he was in the right family, right? He was part of the right family, and they got him into the best school that he could be a part of. He was there, and he worked hard, and he was the best in his school. He graduated as the top of his class. He had the name, he had the titles, and he even had followers who followed him and did what he said. And he even had the government bending to his wishes, and it was not a Jewish government, it was a Roman government. This man's name was Paul. Actually, his name was Saul at that time. And something unique happened in Saul's life. Saul came face to face with Jesus, and when he was once sold out for his religion, after meeting Jesus face to face, Paul was sold out for his Savior. And his life completely changed. And the name and the title and the followers and the power and the prestige he had mattered no more. There was only one thing that mattered in his life, and that was truly living every minute of every day that he had left to serve his Savior. And at the end of his life, you hear this old man sitting in his prison cell. He knows he's going to die. He's there. He's wore out. He's tired. He's worked hard for a lot of years. And he says these words to one of his friends, Timothy. I am already being poured out like a drink offering. And the time's come for me to go. But I fought the good fight, and I have finished my race, and I have kept the faith. And now there's in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to those who have longed for his appearing. You know, what's interesting is about Paul's life is the first half was spent following his religion and just zealously promoting that. And in the end, all he wanted to do was promote his Savior. And it wasn't that he was trying to make up for what he had done in the past, because that stuff didn't matter. Jesus had forgiven him for that. But once he met Jesus, and he really met Jesus, his life from that moment forward was totally changed. He wanted to live his life for the best for his Savior. And listening to those words, it reminds me of something that I heard a long time ago, and it was Lou Gehrig's retirement speech from baseball. Lou Gehrig was a New York Yankees first baseman from 1923 to 1939, playing in the then record. He set a record of 2,130 consecutive games in a row that he played in. He was like the original Iron Man. And that streak lasted until 1995. Well over 50 years later, 60 years later, here was finally his record was broken. But while he was with the Yankees, he batted 340. He won 6 World Series titles during his 17 years. He was an amazing man, and he was a respected man. But he was a man who found he had a disease that would take his life. And on July 4th, 1939, he said this: "Fans, for the past 2 weeks, you've been reading about the hard break I got. Yet today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of this earth. I've been in ballparks for 17 years and I never received anything but kindness and encouragement from you fans. And when you have a wonderful mother-in-law who takes sides with you and squabbles with her own daughter, that's something. And when you have a father and mother who work all their lives so you can have an education and build your body, it's a blessing. And when you have a wife who has been a tower of strength, shown more courage than you dreamed existed, that's the finest I know. So I close in saying that I may have had a tough break, but I have an awful lot to live for. You know, it's amazing that he knew that his time was coming short. His life was coming to an end. And what's amazing is he died at the age of 37 from ALS. We notice his disease, Lou Gehrig's disease. But I wish we all knew Lou Gehrig's heart. To be thankful and appreciative of the life he had. And he lived to the fullest. And you know, we all want to go out like that, don't we? Loved and respected and at the top of our game. Known and appreciated and recognized for the accomplishments that we've succeeded at in life. But it's more work than we ever dreamed possible to maintain that success. It's harder than those who have gone before us and been successful have made it appear. Because success and greatness just don't happen. They're earned through effort and sacrifice daily. And it takes everything that we've got, 100% effort and sacrifice, to be the best that we can be every single day. Never settling for just getting by or doing just enough to make it by. Doing more today than we did yesterday and getting stronger and better for it. It takes a desire and a willingness to risk everything to gain something that's not even within our reach. And when we do that and we get that mentality and we have that work ethic and our drive and our desire to do that, no matter what we've accomplished in the past, it's just the tip of the iceberg of what God can do through us. And when we get to the end, we get to sit down and say like Paul, "Hoo-hoo-hoo, man, I fought the good fight and I finished my race and I've kept the faith. Now there's in store for me a crown of righteousness with the Lord, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will put on my head one day." And you know what's crazy about that? We're doing it for him right now so he receives the glory and honor and praise. He's going to reward us later down the road. And you know what? We don't even care. Because we know who we serve and whom we love. Someday, one day, that great day, he's going to draw us in and he's going to say, "I want everybody to see exactly what you've done." And he's going to go and he's going to get Scott Woodley and he's going to say, "Scott Woodley, put it up on the big screen. How you guys going to feel?" Scott's going, "I'm in control of the screen. I'm good." But you know, all of our good and our bad and our ugly ends up on the big screen one day for God to review. But you know what? Here's the thing that we have to learn from Paul and from Lou Gehrig and for countless other people who have followed Jesus. It takes giving our all to this life we have been given to live it to the fullest and to be our personal best every moment of it that we can. That is what each one of us should be focusing on with a laser-like precision. To live each moment as if it's the most important we will ever have. Because guess what? This is the only moment you will ever have. That will never change. Guess what? You are released from yesterday. You are released from this morning. You are released from anything that took place in your day up until this moment. And you live in this moment and in this moment alone with your Savior. You have gathered here to worship Him and to praise Him for who He is. That's all you have. You don't have the guarantee of tomorrow. You could walk out of this place. You could get in your car. You could start heading on home and not realize the road is washed out, and so are you. But you have this moment, and you are to live it to the fullest for Him. You are to live each moment as if it is something others should take notice of, so that it can encourage others to live their life to the fullest as well. To live in such a way to impress God, so that He's willing to say, life well lived, right there. When He's sitting there and He's saying, you should be like my son. He should pull up something from your life and be able to say, this is what I'm talking about right here. Check out what John did. Check out how they lived. That's what we see in the scriptures with Paul and Timothy and all the rest. We see these opportunities where it's, check out how they lived and do it. You see, graduates, you are like journeymen, just like us. All have lived our lives to this point, and we think that everything up until this point matters, but guess what? None of it really does. It's got us to this point, and it's helped us get here, but this point is what matters most. Those are all great accomplishments, but you're not done yet. You have not arrived. I'm sorry. There's going to be some people mad about this next statement. There's a lot of people upset because the kids aren't going to be celebrated when graduate because of their graduation this year. And I've heard some people say, this might be the greatest moment in their life. If graduating from high school is the highlight of your life, you will have not lived. It is a great thing. It is a good thing. It's an honorable thing, and we applaud you for it. But there are greater things to be celebrated in your life, like the day that you came to know Jesus, the day that you gave your life to Him. And I'll tell you what, when the day comes that you find the one that you're going to say, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you, the day you hold your child in your arms, day they walk across a stage or walk an aisle. And they give their hearts to Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll trade every single good day, every graduation day, for one of those days. And you need to live every one of your days in such a way that they bring honor and glory to God. Because this is not your best day. It's a good day, and you're going to string together countless more good days. And in the end, I hope God will say together with all of heaven, life well lived. Because there's a great day coming for you and I when God will look at what we have done with all that He has given us, and that's going to be our best day. When we stand in His presence, and He does throw our stuff on the big screen, and He says, I want to show you what my child's done. But some of you might be saying, it doesn't really matter. I mean, I don't matter in all this, do I? You might be asking, why does what I do in life really matter in the grand scheme of things? Well, let me tell you, you matter so much that God sent His Son to die for you, so that you could live your life fully and live it fully for Him. And He's taking notes on what you're doing with it right now. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 and 12, it says this, and I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from His presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, all standing before the throne. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, recorded in the books. Has your name been signed into the book of life? Have you chosen Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Because if your name's not there, It's written in another book, which is reserved for those who are going to hell. And I love the fact God's got an eraser. He can erase you out of that one and slide you into this one if you so choose. That's the number one thing you need to do with your life. And then all the other things you do after that point need to be for Him. My question is, what are the notes God is taking on your life? What is He going to say about you in the end? You know, instead of worrying about what people in school or college or even in your own family are going to think about you, it's time to consider and be more concerned what God is thinking about you right now. And if you're like me, you've failed, and you've failed a lot in your lifetime. I failed my God over and over again. I failed my family time and time again. I failed my friends. I failed every church that I've ever served in some way, shape, or form. I failed myself. And you know, all I see written down in mine is failures. I don't see anything good. And that's not a good thing when that's all you see, because sometimes you're like me and the bad far outweighs the good. And that begins to weigh pretty heavy on a person's heart and mind, and you start to sleep less and less at night. You know, I turn a half a century old this year, and I have a lifetime full of regrets. But one thing I've never regretted is following Jesus. It's been a bumpy, hard road, but it's led me to some great places with Him. You know, there are times in my life when I know I didn't give my best effort. And even though it was better than most, it still wasn't my best effort. You guys been there? I'm doing better than everybody else. It's good enough. There have been times when I said and did things that were failures that I chose to live into instead of avoid. And I know I've not lived my life to the full or up to my full potential. And that's always forced me to live in this spot of never good enough. Never worthy enough. And that's true. And I feel like I've wasted my life and let God and everyone else down in the process. But you know what I'm glad about? In the end, it doesn't matter how I feel or what I think. It matters what God says. And I may be turning 50, but that does not matter. I still have today that I can live for Him. I have this very moment to live the best life that I can for Him. I may get tomorrow, but that doesn't matter. The questions that matter today are these. What am I doing with this God-given moment that I have right now? What are you doing with the God-given moment that you have right now? Whether you're retired or laid off or graduating high school or working like a dog or strapped down and bound by a stroke, what are you doing right now in this moment for God? Another question, what do I believe God wants me to do to live my life more fully for Him? What is it? What is it that I need to be doing more of so my life becomes more for Him? You know, He's constantly doing what I've done with my kids the entire school career. I know there's better in there, and I know you've got better to do, and you need to do it. You need to trust me. You need to do it. And it's sad that God wants more for our lives than we want for our lives. He's the one who says, I'm going to do something in your life far greater than you could have ever imagined or dreamed. And that brings you to, what changes do I need to make to help Him make that reality come true? See, ladies and gentlemen, if you keep doing what you've always done, you keep what? Getting what you've always got. And you might need to get some new friends. You might need to change jobs. You might need to find that new beginning. But whatever it is, you need to do it. And you need to seek God out and say, God, what change do I need to make so that you can do your greatest work yet? And then when you're laying on your pillow, you need to ask yourself, are you willing to do those hard things or not? You see, this is the graduation challenge for all of us. It is our wake-up call, and it's our fork in the road. It is a warning to the weary follower of God who's a long way from home and not done yet, that it's time, like Paul, to make a change, to become the person God wants you to be. I don't think I like this little passage. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. To the angel of the church of Sardis write these things. These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, and obey it and repent. You need to turn back to God right now. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief in the night, and you will not know what time I come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. So he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, there's a big question: what's going to happen to the church and in the life of the church once the powers in the middle grounds tell us we can gather together and worship, that we can gather together and be the church together again? They're wondering if people are going to come back through the doors or be too afraid to step in them. If they're wondering if the people are going to come together and do great things once again, or keep it at a social distance and never do another thing for God on his behalf again. May it never be said of us that God has found our deeds incomplete. When these doors open, if you are brave enough and willing, it's time for the church to be the church and do what God's calling us to do. You see, our greatest days aren't behind us, and they aren't ahead of us. Our greatest days are right now, this moment, this day. No matter what any man, woman, or child says about us, the church. We don't get to graduate until Jesus takes us home. Getting to the day of graduation and finding you haven't turned in all the assignments to graduate is not a good thing. You can't scramble trying to get things together because you're only going to find out there's one more hoop to jump through and hurdle to jump over. And you find out you're a day late, a dollar short, and a French fry short of a happy meal. But God is pleading with every one of us to wake up and repent and turn back to him, to give him 100% of what you have left, like Paul did for the rest of his life, to be the person that he's made you to be, that he's redeemed you to be, and by now you should be, and he's still waiting for you to believe he can do that in your life. Some of you feel like it's too late, the ship's sailed, you're too tired, and you've got excuses. And like someone told me, everybody's got excuses, and they're like armpits, and they all stink. And you know what? It's going to take everything you and I have to be the noteworthy person of God in a time, in this time that we have left. In Matthew 16, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward each person according to what he's done." What are you doing with your life? Anything? Something? If you're like me, not enough. We can do more than we are. Preacher, man, you don't know me. Hard things I'm going through, the tough things I've got. You're right, I don't know you. I know me. I know other failures just like us. And I know Jesus, and he does his best work in people just like us. And if you still feel it's too late to start, my wife, she liked something on Facebook today, and I saw it. And I thought it was pretty good, so I figured I need to share it with y'all today. This dude named Bruce Greenlaw wrote this. He said, "One day, Saul was killing Christians. The next day, he was a Christian. One day, Peter was a fisherman. The next day, he was a fisher of men. Don't judge someone based on that one day. Because if God can create the whole world in 6 days, he surely can create a new heart in just one new day." See, ladies and gentlemen, don't count anybody out. Don't count any prodigal too deep in the pig pen. Don't think every failure remains a failure forever. Pray that they have the courage to get up like Paul did after he had been knocked down and blinded and said, "Lord, I give you my life." Like Peter, who ran scared from a little girl who said, "You were with him?" "No, I wasn't with him." And he gave his life and lived and died for his Savior. Like David, the murderer and the adulterer, who turned the corner and still was the man after God's own heart. Me, the Pollock, no account from a lost group of people, saying, "Lord, I will follow you and serve you with my life." And ending up preaching for him for over a quarter of a century. And most of all, don't count yourself out. Don't say you're beyond hope. Don't tap out and quit. There's this one little cartoon that I saw years ago, and it was this great one. You know those pelicans with the big, they got the double chins like I do that hang down like that, and they eat fish. He's there on the edge of the water, and he done scooped up himself a frog. You guys seen this one? So the frog is stuck in the pelican's mouth. But on the way in, on the way down, he grabbed a hold of the pelican by the neck. And it said, "Never, ever quit. Don't ever give up." I often wonder who won. Did the pelican win and swallow the frog? Or did the frog choke him out and hop away? I don't know. We'll see what happens with your life. Because you're the frog. The world's the pelican. And the world is going to try to eat you alive, but you can win this thing. Because the journey of faith starts with one step of faith. And it requires you to put your best foot forward every step after that. And it's time that we walk by faith in Him, by focusing on Him and not what we see in our mirrors. Not what we're worried about that probably isn't going to happen down the road. But what we celebrate that He's done in our lives right today and given us opportunity today. So for all of you who have graduated to this point in life, whether it be in school or college or life or the school of hard knocks, congratulations. Welcome to the big leagues. Show up and work. And work hard for Jesus.
Who, O Lord, could save themselves, their own soul could heal? Our shame was deeper than the sea, Your grace is deeper still. Who, O Lord, could save themselves, their own soul could heal? Our shame was deeper than the sea, Your grace is deeper still. And You alone can rescue, You alone can save, You alone can lift us from the grave. You came down to find us, led us out of death. To You alone belongs the highest praise. You alone can rescue, You alone.
Father God, I thank you so much that we are not judged by one success or one failure. That we are not judged by one day. See, our life is transformed and changed by one decision. That decision is to follow you and allow you to be our Savior. And every day after that, we put in the work to allow you to be the Lord of our lives. And as we live each day, may we live it in such a way that it brings glory and honor to you. So that when it's all said and done, when we're wore out, we're tired, we got nothing left to give, and we sit down by you at your feet and go, whew, made it. You'll look at us with a smile on your face and say, I knew you would. I'm proud of you. Good job. May that be our desire. May that be our reward. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.